So I think we don't have a formal agenda today, but Paul wanted to talk briefly about future directions of tooling, etc. And there was also some discussion about the context being published at schema.org. I don't know if you've seen that discussion already.
Yeah, I looked over the mailing list for that.
So, Paul, do you have something specific in mind, or?
Just a second. The thing I wanted to just kind of get is we left the last meeting saying, hey, we're thinking about somebody's going to start getting the kernel of the, what tooling we would like to have, and I was just wondering what the status of that was. I didn't know if anybody had a chance to look at that, and where we were going to actually put that. I think the discussion had been to put something up on jasonld.org, or either that or the wiki. I believe it's at W3, and just trying to get a feel on what all is. What all tooling is even needed? I think one thing we talked about that was discussed was a like some sort of development Chrome plugin or something like that. I just didn't want things to fall off because new year, new problems that everybody starts having.
Something else I was thinking was that it would be great to have a primer. I know. Dave Lane started working on one a while ago, but we never got around to finishing that. That would also be very useful, just to have people who don't really understand JSON-LD be able to come in and read a primer instead of having to pick through the spec and figure out what's going on. It would also help with some of the questions that people have. Even the esoteric ones can maybe even be covered by the primer. I know a number of people have asked about things like trying to understand at type and how it's been overloaded and trying to inject that into their data via the context, things like that. A number of different people have asked about those sorts of things, and maybe a primer would help with that. I'm not sure. In terms of tools, I think it would be good if people could, just edit the wiki and put down tools that they would like to see or tools that they know about. And then we could link to that from the website, perhaps directly. And that way people could sort of put things together on a piecemeal basis and we could figure out a better list of what's needed. I certainly think updates to the playground would be nice. I'm not saying that I can do them myself right now, but that's something that could be cleaned up a little better with more explanation for how things work, especially because that might be a big place that people go to try and mess around with JSON-LD. And if there was more information there, it would be easier for them to get a good start on using it.
Yeah. One quick aside on the playground, a simple copy button would be awesome. That would just copy the results from like either the expanded or compacted or whatever, just because Control-A doesn't work in that frame or in that particular div area.
But, yeah, that would
okay.
be good.
So what other? All right, so we've got a few things there. Where do we want to track these? Do we want to track this type of stuff on GitHub? Do we want to track it just through the wiki?
For changes to the playground, that should definitely go in GitHub. So you should probably go ahead and file an issue and request some kind of copy button or something that would make that work.
I was actually referring just to the general conversation as a whole. Do we want to essentially have like some sort of a JSON-LD tooling wish list type of thing somewhere? The only concern I have on the wiki, and it's just a personal thing, is anytime once you start going into the W3C space as deeply as that for things like tooling, I think that you're going to there's a possibility of kind of saying, oh, well, I don't want to dig into specs. I want just something that works. We actually had several cases that say, oh, no, you don't have to dig into the specs. The spec has already been dug into. You just use this. So I don't know if that's something that – do we want to keep all the tooling in the realm of the official W3C side of things, or do we want to keep it more on the community group side, kind of like what was done with the playground and the like?
Well, I suppose we could have some kind of issue in GitHub that people could add comments to for wish list items. If that would be useful, we could take that approach. Other people can offer their opinion there.
I know some of the guys are having some audio problems. And again, I'm just throwing brainstorm ideas out just from when we had some, like I said, we had some folks here that they're like, all these specs, they read worse than stereo instructions. I just give up. I'll find a library somewhere.
Well, yeah, that's another reason why I was saying a primer would be useful. something that's just, that's actually written for people that are looking for a
human
library to just get going. Yeah, for humans.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I've been thinking about one kind of difficult question, which hasn't been worded in so many words, but I feel that it's important. It's about when you can use JSON-LD, just JSON. In which cases that's applicable. For instance, in the schema.org case, we aren't really sure what the intent is with the JSON in their examples. Will they will reasonably, hopefully, consume JSON-LD using other contexts which use schema.org terms, but they might use prefixes or different coercions. But that's currently not mentioned explicitly, so it's hard to know where we are on that in regard to how the search engines will consume JSON-LD using the schema.org vocabulary. Perhaps they want to use only consume JSON-LD which uses that specific context, and that is one of the possibly many cases where you expect the JSON to be used as is by both producers and consumers, but then you can use it as RDF or other shapes of JSON-LD using JSON-LD specific tools.
Well, I do think that we should probably focus on the JSON side of things just because that's where the tools are limited, because this is a new space, and it's also where a lot of the excitement is over over the technology.
Yeah. But that means that we should try to mention reasonably in that primer what kind of constraints that imposes for certain contexts and how to explain that the...
I think you just cut
out. Yeah, I think you cut out. Could you repeat that last part? Yeah, I don't think we're getting any of your audio, Nicholas. At least I'm not.
I'm sorry, I think I lost sound there again.
You did.
Yeah.
But we can hear you now, if you want to repeat that.
Yeah, I was silent for a while, then I didn't. Now I heard you again. So I think that basically what you scribed was being my point.
Okay. Does anyone else agree with Paul that we should avoid using the wiki for setting up a wish list of sorts? Should we try and direct people towards GitHub and have them talk about tooling wish lists there, make an issue for that, or what do other people think?
I think that wikis are lousy for discussions. So if we need to have comments on a wish, GitHub would work much better.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with Niklas. I think it would be much easier to just create GitHub issues and maybe create a tag so that we can link to all issues tagged with, I don't know, wish or wish list or something. So you get a list of all those wishes.
Yeah. We could have a tag for primer as well if we know that the solution to this issue should be some kind of good advice or a usage pattern, which would be important to promote.
So the primer that we're talking about here, is that something similar to the RDF primer?
I think so.
In a sense, yeah.
Which is a lot easier to grok than the multitude of RDF specs.
Yeah.
At least it gives you a good foundation, that a broad paintbrush to that goes across all of them. Then you can look up the individual spec items as needed if you really need that level of detail.
I put a link into IRC for the document that Lane started working on a while ago.
Right.
Perhaps we shouldn't even format it like using respec, but just, I don't know, make it look more like an article or blog post or something.
Yeah, more like a blog post. I would be okay with that. A little less intimidating.
Yeah. Okay, I think we've got a decent idea on how to proceed on the tooling side. There was some other discussions about schema.org. Do we want to bring those up now or discuss? Is there anything to discuss on that, or is we're just going to keep that on the mailing list for now?
I think there's not that much that we can discuss right now because, unfortunately, we are not in control there.
Yeah,
it also seemed to be making some headway on the mailing list. So I'm not too concerned about it. It did seem like they were actually having a pretty good discussion there.
Yeah.
I'm going through the recent stuff now that I just got from 2 in the morning.
One thing that I should just comment in that thread if I have some nice concise way of putting it, but I think that one of the interesting questions to me is, well, related to what I mentioned earlier, that at this stage, I presume that the majority of, the intent for the data that is published using the examples that Google provides, for instance, is for consumption by Google. Of course, it's very good. It's not proper JSON-LD unless there is a context at the location that they say that people should point at. But I don't expect the majority of consumption to be in general at this moment. I think that this is intended for publishers to publish in order for Google and other search engines to consume that data, and anyone else if they want to. But I don't think that the expectation is that people should reference that context over and over for the data that they provide as examples right now. And I mean, Google will have their own cache of their own context recently, so they that shouldn't be an issue for them.
Yeah, but I mean, as soon as you put it on the web, you can't control it anymore, who is going to access it and to use it in which way, etc.
No, absolutely. But then I think that they can do what has been suggested. They can have 419 responses or throttle excessive usage.
Right. Well, I mean, it would also be quite sensible to use AdvoCup for all those examples. I mean, it doesn't make it much more difficult than it would eliminate all of those problems in like a very simple way. You just have to throw in a couple of AdID objects in some places, but that's it basically.
Yeah.
Well, that also doesn't address the problem Martin Hepp was bringing up, which was whenever any URLs for schema.org for any vocabulary terms appear in a document, apparently some browsers or some tools attempt to dereference those. That's a separate issue from getting the context up and working, but there's still going to be a lot of network traffic, could potentially be, whether or not they put a context up there.
Yeah, so putting it there shouldn't be the real problem.
Go ahead.
Yeah, just a remark. I think that Martin's guess is correct. I mean, if browsers dereference anything, they dereference href values in link elements. And the only place where schema.org expects that to happen, as far as I've seen, is for microdata and additional type. If you use RDFA, none of the attributes provide URLs which the browsers regularly dereference. And for JSON-LD, there is no dereferencing of links in JSON. So from the start, no tools would do anything about it. Of course, context is the place in JSON-LD where you expect referencing to happen. But not in general.
Right. Yes, I guess from the start there shouldn't be there would not be an issue. Just a question of whether or not tools would begin to create problems.
Yeah.
Also, another good reason to use RDFA over microdata.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, a general linked data problem, isn't it? If you build something like tabulator or something, you will obviously go and try to get property labels and stuff like that.
Yeah,
it's really sort of the point of all of this is being able to do that, so that the infrastructure does
right.
need to support it.
Precisely, and that's a very, very large and somewhat nebulous problem in general with linked data, where to what extent should REST principles be applied when consuming linked data? It's not generally obvious. I mean, most linked data scenarios should rely heavily on caching, even for instances, to be able to work properly. And Sparkle endpoints is one example of that, where you don't really know if you will use anything live from the web.
Well, in any case, I think most of that discussion is going to happen on the mailing list. It does seem that there's headway being made, and there are a couple of suggestions that could possibly work from, you know, like waiting 60 seconds for subsequent responses and things of that nature.
Yeah.
That might be something that we want to, depending on some, what falls through there, to codify in some future spec on how for implementations that essentially to be friendly to services just in general for cacheable resources.
Yeah, well, at least we should provide a consistent story around that in the primer, for example.
Yeah, I think that would be a good place for it.
Yeah.
More people are likely to read the primer than they are the actual spec.
Yeah.
All right, so is there anything else? Otherwise, I think that covered pretty much everything I wanted to kind of keep in the front burner.
Same here.
Yeah, I think that's it at the moment. The plan is to publish the recommendation next week. If nothing changes dramatically, tomorrow there is a transition call for the RDF 1.1 specifications, which means that RDF concepts will go to PR, and if that all goes well, then we can move JSON-LD to recommendation by next week.
That's awesome.
That's great.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Yeah, I don't expect any big problems tomorrow because there is one or two formal objections, but I don't expect that they will hold the documents back.
Oh, there was one thing I just thought of. I don't think we ever, Marcus, I don't think you and I ever resolved whether or not we had decided that the spec indicated that if base is set to null, whether or not how relative IRIs are treated. I'm not suggesting that we go and make any spec changes. You know, what's done is done. But how did we end up deciding that it should be interpreted?
Yeah. Well, I think we can't obviously change the spec anymore, but at least my understanding from reading the RFC, the RFC defining URIs and IRIs, is that you can't run that algorithm if there is no base. And setting at base to null means that there is no base, so you can't do anything. You can't try to resolve a relative RI against nothing. So in my opinion, they should stay exactly as they are.
Yeah, I can't remember if there was any sort of path normalization or anything that could have been done. I'm trying to think if you could consider the base to be essentially sort of an empty string, and then run the algorithm that way.
The base, I think, has to be an absolute IRI for those algorithms defined in the RFC to work. I'm not 100% sure, but almost.
All right, so that means that we should expect the tools to just completely leave URLs alone if base is set to null.
I would, yeah, from my understanding, that's right, yeah.
Okay. Because I mean, I can make my tools do that. I just can't remember. I'm trying to remember what we had a good example of behavior. I'm trying to remember which output was more or less confusing.
I think you filed a bug report on my processor because it failed. If there's a URL which is basically an empty string, and if you expand that, I think.
Yeah, do you have a link to that?
Yeah, just a second. I think the problem was that in PHP you can't have a property which is an empty string.
Ah, right. Yeah, that's why it was annoying. I remember that.
And in the node map generation, you can't then index that node anymore. Here's the link.
Yeah, that's right. I remember I added a hack to one of the branches for my PHP processor that just used a double quote as the key if something was empty when building that node map generation. And that got around the issue.
In a sense, it doesn't even make much sense to create a node map if you can't expand those relative RIs, because two different relative RIs might actually resolve to the same absolute RI, even though the relative RIs look slightly different, for example. So I'm not really sure what to do about that, but yeah, some hack like the one you just proposed would probably work.
Right. Yeah, I wrote in here that one interpretation is a null basis. All components are undefined with an empty path. I realize that would be an invalid. That would not constitute an absolute base IRI, but it would work. The algorithm would work. Yeah, that was the other possible interpretation.
Let me have a look at the RFC, because I think to remember that they say quite explicitly that the algorithms are not defined if there is no base.
Yeah, I quoted from section 5.2.1. talking about pre-parsing the base URI. It says there are five main components, and that only the scheme component is required to be present in a base URI. Everything else can be empty or undefined. So I guess because the scheme component is not present, then it's not a valid base URI.
Yeah, there's also the term relative implies that a base URI exists against which the relative reference is applied. Relative references are only usable when a base URI is known.
And okay, well, I'm fine.
Yeah,
I can see it. That's fine. I'm fine with just saying, well, we won't touch your URLs that when a base URI is not defined. We'll just make the tools do that so they're consistent.
So, I don't know, it's a bit weird to add a test for that, but should we add one?
No. I think we'll leave it as is. I don't even know how easy it would be to add a test for that for certain tools.
I mean, we don't have to use an empty string, but maybe something else like, you know, dot dot slash something, or I don't know, doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I guess actually maybe we should and have it use the test case that was filed here on your processor to ensure that PHP tools can handle it.
Yeah, empty strings are of course problematic because you can't, in some languages you can't use them as properties, so you would have to add some hack or something.
Right.
No, I think we can touch the test suite again, right?
Let's wait until everything is until we move to rec, and then we'll go and mess with it. Just let's not throw any wrenches into that process.
Yeah, let it go to rec. Have with the final tags and everything. We can always branch it from there and saying, "Hey, this is to,
this is an extreme corner case scenario, and we can deal with it after the fact."
Yeah. That actually brings me to another point, which we talked about already, I think a year ago or half a year ago. Could we create a subtree split of the just the tests and move them to a different repository? That way you could check out just the tests instead of having to check out like the whole repository, including all the specifications and the whole website and everything.
Yeah, that would be nice to be able to just do that, to run the tests locally. We'll have to make sure that that's not a problem with whatever has been marked in the spec. I can't remember if we copied the entire test suite to like W3C space or what we did with all that, but yeah, I'd be okay with having a separate repository just for the tests.
Yeah, we actually do just that. We pull down the Git repository and run all the, our tests local as well.
Yeah, me too. But it would be nice to just have to pull the tests instead of having to pull everything.
Some sort of a sub-repository.
Dave, do you have access to set up a post-commit hook, whatever, on GitHub?
I'm not sure. I would think that I would.
I don't have access.
Let me check. Maybe I don't have access either. Just like... Yeah, I think I can set up hooks in here. What did you want them to do?
Nothing yet, because I have to put up that script somewhere. Or I can send you a script.
Let me see if I can give you access. Just let me see if I have the ability to do that. Do you have to be in? Don't you just have to be an editor to be able to edit hooks in here?
Sorry, I didn't quite understand.
Do you only have to be an editor? Well, there are a couple of different teams that you can for JSON-LD owners and editors. I thought you would be able to edit hooks if you were in the editors team.
I'm not sure. Do you have an administrator or something? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe you have to be an administrator.
Probably.
Alright, see if you can edit hooks now.
Okay.
That doesn't make any sense.
I don't even have access to the settings of the repository, so it doesn't show up.
I'm going to drop since it seems like y'all have...
Yeah, I think we should go ahead and end the call on Marcus, and I can just stay on here for a second.
All right.
Sure.
Have a good day.
See you later.
See you.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye.